Baseball and softball season are right around the corner. That means new uniforms. This year, check out Winning Streak for all your team's uniform and equipment needs. Their decoration facility offers some of the quickest turnaround times in the Midwest. Like any good team, Winning Streak believes in teamwork. That's why pairing brand names like Rawlings, Adidas, and Mizuno with your team, Winning Streak has you covered from head to toe. Their professionals will come to your practice for a fitting, no extra trips needed. See all they have to offer. Call 888-570-6190.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. We get
it almost every night. Charlie, you put in a request or something?
I did.
Just
makes me feel good.
Want to keep up?
Yeah. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. Masties tee off. So Jason Day, six strokes off the pace set by Jordan Spieth, will tee off in the 8 o'clock hour. Doug, he ran into some problems in the back nine yesterday. He was off to a great start and then faded in the back nine. He'll have to mount a Sunday charge on Friday. And Jordan Spieth, oh my, he just keeps on doing it. And Augusta, this kid is something else.
Well, that was well said. It almost sounded like Vin Scully.
Nope.
Who might have been on the Masters coverage at one point, as I remember, years ago.
You can see that.
That's Spieth, 22 years old. He'll be 23, I believe, in July.
Yeah.
Doug, you like Kjeldsen?
Oh, yeah, Kjeldsen, we called him on the tour when I knew him. It was Kjeldsen. I believe he's from Sweden, Norway, Finland, one of those places.
And you like his short game?
I liked his short game. He was pretty good around the frogs here. He was a guy that I called him a shot maker because he'd have it look like, boy, Kjeldsen, you're never going to get your par on this hole. You know, he'd be in absolute jail. And he'd pull some club out of his bag. I don't know what it was. And sure enough, he'd plop it right up there. He'd knock it stiff and then bring out the flat iron and get his par.
So you're saying more of a shot maker than a ball striker?
I would say so. Although he could strike the ball.
And Augusta benefits him because here's a creative player, Kjeldsen. And a lot of people think of what Bubba Watson did in 2012, Doug, on number 10. But Kjeldsen had been doing that for years. And he was at Tower T in 94.
Right. He played on a lot of those courses around the fjords, and that's where he developed a lot of his, shooting out of trouble.
Up in Scandinavia.
That's correct.
Yes.
We will be all over our Masters coverage because I don't have any of my 22 DraftKings teams cashing right now.
Not one?
So that was a good...
What did you pick?
That was a good investment.
Ernie Els?
I actually have two. I did have Els on two. And so I'm watching it yesterday. I go, how in the hell is Ernie Els six over par through one? And then I saw the video, and I go, oh, my God. Makes Tom Watson's yips like
finished with an 80
Spieth last year. Holy moly. Masters, Cardinals, and of course Blues. A great week in St. Louis sports, and that's not even to mention WrestleMania. And joining us right now to talk it all over from the Chicago Blackhawks television telecast and also the 15-year NHL veteran Steve Conroy. Steve, good morning.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
We are very good. Thanks so much for joining us. I realized the outcome wasn't what Blackhawks fans wanted, but that was a hell of an entertaining hockey game last night at the United Center.
You know, it was. I think, maybe people were expecting, because I knew the Blues have been scoring a lot of goals lately. I think they had, they've been averaging four or five goals over the last four or five games. The Blackhawks, believe it or not, had scored 17 goals in their last three games. And, everything was just clicking for them. So, I think people were hoping it was going to be more like a 5-4, 6-5 game. We didn't get that. But, yeah, it was entertaining. To me, it was like a chess match. It wasn't a typical St. Louis-Chicago game. It was like nobody wanted to get hurt. Nobody wanted to make a mistake. And I think part of that reason was because there were so many key players out for both squads. I know you guys were without David Backes and that fantastic youngster, Robbie Fabry, and I guess your number one goalie, Jake Allen, although that's debatable. But,
yeah.
We're without Duncan Keith, Norris Trophy winner, and Marian Hossa, and Artem Anisimov, who's just had a fantastic season for us, Andrew Shaw. And, of course, our number one guy, Corey Crawford. So, a lot of the major pieces were out. But, yeah, all in all, still a pretty good game and could have gone either way. And I think the better team won last night.
The Blackhawks expecting to get all those guys back for the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, there's a question mark, I think, surrounding Andrew Shaw. And Duncan Keith's going to miss the first game of the playoff series, whoever we play, whether it's you guys or the Dallas Stars. So Dunks will be out for one playoff game. Marian Hossa, I don't think he'll play Saturday, but he's supposed to be back in the lineup for the playoffs. Same goes for Artem Anisimov. And Andrew Shaw, I think, is the biggest question mark. He's the only guy not skating. And if you know Andrew Shaw, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got that junkyard dog mentality. He'll just go after anything and anyone, and he really creates a lot of havoc when he's on the ice. And he's got some pretty good hands, too. He's got some skills. So he's probably the biggest question mark at this point. But, you know, all in all, we should have the majority of those guys back for game one.
Steve, I'm wondering how Blackhawks fans feel about a potential matchup with the Blues in the playoffs. Because of past history, you know, Blues fans, I think, are always worried when they see Chicago as a potential playoff matchup, even though this year the Blues, you know, have a better record. But just there seems to be, oh, you know, the Blackhawks, they have the Cups, and in recent years they seem to really ramp up their game come postseason. Do a lot of Blackhawks fans say, okay, you know, once it gets to the playoffs, we'll kind of take care of those Blues?
Yeah, I think that's the mentality. I think there's a lot of respect there, though. I just don't think we're going to flip the switch and be able to do it. But, you know, you guys know because you've been through it with the Blues the last, you know, 3-4 years. Winning a Stanley Cup is an uncommon experience. And uncommon experiences kind of bring you together. I read a great book, and that's where I got it from. And it actually has a lot to do with St. Louis. Undaunted courage. It was the trek up the Missouri to get to the West Coast. I forget the name of the two explorers who did it.
And it's Lewis and Clark.
The Lewis and Clark expedition. Exactly. Nice. Thank you. I just had a nice brain freeze. It's an excellent book. Stephen Ambrose wrote it. Undaunted Courage, and he talks about these guys who are a ragtag group, but they did something that no one had done. And I mean, we're only talking about what was that? I guess it was less than 200 years ago. I guess it was
1804.
Look at you, Doug.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking of a little over 200 years, but I mean, it was totally uncharted. And what these guys did, it brought them together. Nobody died on the expedition, and it really kind of brought, you know, it really solidified the group. And I think that's what's happened with these Blackhawks. Because listen, you mentioned I played in the NHL for 15 years. I never got to a Stanley Cup final. Played on a lot of really good teams, and it is a really tough thing to do. I think, you know, in any sport, reaching the ultimate championship is a real tough thing to do. So that all being said, I think, you know, that's the advantage the Blackhawks have. They've been there. They've done that. I don't want to say it's second nature, but I don't think, you know, I can remember a couple of years ago against St. Louis, they got down 2-0, and everyone thought the series is over except for the Blackhawks because they've been through it before. And of course, they went on to win that in six games. So, you know, I really do like the St. Louis Blues this year. I think the biggest question mark is still goaltending, and I know these guys have had fantastic seasons during the regular season. But again, when you talk about the postseason, it's a different season, and there's a little more pressure. And what sometimes seems routine all of a sudden isn't, and it's how you react to those situations. So, you know, I think that's where if I'm a St. Louis Blues fan, I love my team on paper. I'm a little worried about, you know, experience in the net in the postseason.
Do you think the NHL will change? I know they just changed them recently here, the rules in terms of the division when it gets to the playoffs, because it just does seem really unfair at a year like this where Chicago, St. Louis, and Dallas are three of the best teams in the NHL, especially three of the best teams in the Western Conference, and one of those teams won't make it out of the first round. And it's been like that, especially in the Central Division the last few years. But it does seem unfair sometimes the way it's set up.
You know, I agree with you, but what it does do, it really, you know, solidifies those rivalries. And of course, you know, most rivalries are based on geography. And I know with, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Cubs, you get a lot of Cubs fans coming down to see the Cards play. And, of course, we see a lot of Cardinals fans here seeing the Cubs play. So, you know, I think those are natural rivalries, geographic rivalries. But then, you know, the next step is in the playoffs, when you see a team in the playoffs two or three years in a row, and you know, all of a sudden the Minnesota Wild now has become a real good rivalry. And I know it's kind of geographic, and of course the Minnesota North Stars and Blackhawks always had a great rivalry. When the Wild came in, they weren't very good at the beginning, and, and no one really thought much of them. But we've seen them now, I think, I want to say two or three years in a row in the postseason. And that's how you really kind of brew bad blood between teams, between cities. And I think that's what really sparked it. So, you know, I guess the short answer to your question is I agree. I mean, we're going to see a team that, you know, one of the top maybe three teams in the NHL get knocked out in the first round. And that's just the reality of the way they've got it set up. I kind of like it. And, you know, whether we play you guys or the Dallas Stars, I don't think it's set in stone yet. It's going to be a great series, and there's bad blood between the teams. And I can't wait to see it happen.
Steve Conroy, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He is with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn, Charlie Marlowe with you here on the radio program. We had Kelly Chase on, Steve, and he's a regular on the show, the Blues broadcaster. And he was saying, you know, you look at the East, and unless somebody really pulls a surprise, the Washington Capitals are primed to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. But he said, with the exception of the Wild, he could see any of the other seven teams in the Western Conference making it to the Stanley Cup Finals. How do you analyze the West?
You know, I'd have to agree. It's just Minnesota's really kind of stubbing their toe right now. I think they've lost four in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They won six in a row. They've lost four in a row. I'd have to agree with that. The Nashville Predators, they were real red hot for a while there. The Blackhawks, we were hot back, I believe it was like November, December. The team won, set a franchise record, 12 consecutive wins. There's very little difference between those seven teams. And, yeah, I'll throw Minnesota in there too, really, because, you know, when they made that coaching change, they got red hot. So, yeah, those eight teams, it wouldn't surprise me. I think San Jose's playing better. I think Martin Jones, their new goaltender, is going to make a huge difference for them, although he doesn't have a lot of playoff experience either. It could be anybody. And I know, you know, I watched you guys play the Washington Capitals. It just seemed like a couple of weeks ago, and I think you spanked them 4-0. I don't think St. Louis is afraid of anybody either. It's just, you know, you want to get that first win in the first round under your belt. You want to gain a little bit of momentum, and you want to make sure you stay away from injuries. And I really don't know the status of Jake Allen or David Backes or even Robbie Fabry. I don't think it's real serious, and it looks like they're maybe resting those guys more than anything before the playoffs start. But I, you know, as good as your team was last night, you need everybody. And I think that's something the Blackhawks have learned over these, well, three Stanley Cups in 6 years is, you know, it's not just the 20 players that you have, you know, signed up and ready to go on game one. A lot of times by the end of the playoffs, it's your, you know, seventh and eighth defenseman who are playing a major part, and you know, maybe your 13th or 14th forward too. So you need that depth, and I mean, you guys looked really good last night without a few key pieces, so I think that's very important.
Steve Conroy, Blackhawks TV analyst, played in the league 15 years, giving us his take on the NHL playoffs, Blues and Blackhawks after the Blues victory last night in overtime. Steve, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by the show.
Yeah, hey, just one quick thing. I saw Kelly Chase last night. Of course, the Blackhawk alumni are going to play the St. Louis Blues alumni next year. I think it's on New Year's Day at
Yeah.
Bush Stadium. Chaser said he's going to have to lose 40 pounds before he's ready to play in that. So you can mention that to him next time you talk to him.
Are you going
to
play?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we just played in Minnesota, it seems like a month ago. I guess it was maybe 6 weeks ago now, and it was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, we had a great time. We lost the game to the Minnesota Wild / Minnesota North Stars, but it was really a lot of fun.
They're going to try to get Twist out there, too, so you'll have to behave yourself if you come here.
Well, that's right. And then I saw Panger, too. And, you know, whenever we had optional practices with Mike Keenan when Panger was still a part of the Chicago Blackhawks, and Panger would never play net. He was a really good forward, and that's what he always wanted to play when we had an optional practice. So I'm sure if he plays, he'll play forward.
Panger out there on the forward, Doug.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be out there. I have a feeling he'll be coaching that. He'll be running the whole operation, probably.
Yeah, you might be right. Steve, thanks so much, man.
All right, guys, anytime.
Steve, thank you much. Here. Blackhawks television analyst giving us his perspective on what is likely to be a Blues-Blackhawks first-round series. I do think the main reason why they switched up that playoffs setup is for television ratings, because you would have, like what we saw in 2012, and 13, you would have the Blues playing the Kings. That wasn't the only reason. And hell, in 2000 and 2001 and 2003 and 2004, you have St. Louis in the Central Time Zone. And all of those years, the Blues were playing an opponent in Pacific Time Zone. So you had playoff games start at 9 o'clock. So from a television rating standpoint. But I do recall growing up, and Doug, you were covering them, you had the old Norris Division. And so the Blues were playing one of the Leafs, the Red Wings, the North Stars, or the Blackhawks in the first round, and it was whoever came out of the division would then play the winner of what seemed to be Calgary or Edmonton all the time.
Right.
What was that division? I think it was the Prince Albert.
Oh, there was the Smythe Division and the
Wales Conference.
Punch Imlock Division. I don't remember them all.
I think there was the Alexei Gusarov.
It could have been. You had to be a real hockey history buff to know what the names meant.
But you knew a lot about Sacagawea and Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, you had a nice little history segment.
You guys know about Lewis and Clark, right?
But when he said the exhibition...
Where Larry Nichols has been going to school for 9 years. He also goes by Larry Clark.
Thomas Jefferson buys the western half of the United States, and he sends Lewis and Clark out to explore it, try to find a passage to the Pacific Ocean. You're aware of that, right?
Correct. I've seen the statue down there. Sometimes when the river gets high...
An old man, sir.
The old man, it covers up that statue of, what is it, Meriwether Lewis.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course it's for TV reasons. Not that hard, Timmy. That's from The Troll.
How about that?
Kind of put me in my
taking
place.
Taking shots at us, as
much
always.
Better for
giving
travel.
Observation.
Much better for travel as well.
I like those trips out to Cali.
Well,
Vancouver,
so do I.
Especially when the Blues would fly us on their plane. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Without question, that's the way to fly.
Well, the lensman I was with on my first trip had bad breeze, and it was a four-hour flight, and it was a little rough.
Oh, my.
A little rough.
And you had to sit there right next to him, close to his mouth?
Jeez.
Let me guess. Clip that off.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Thank you for saving me the time. Yes, I did. And he wanted to talk the whole time.
Oh.
And the breeze.
That's rough. That's a rough light there.
Yep.
That is bad, though, when somebody next to you on the plane wants to talk. I understand you sit down.
I didn't mind that, but it was the bad breeze that really complicated the matter. And this was within the first couple of weeks of me starting at KMOV, and somebody got intoxicated on the flight, not a member of the organization, and my lensman... spoke a potpourri of languages, and
was it Nam?
Well, I wasn't going to name him, but now that we're
never mind.
Thanks, Charlie. He's already said he had bad breeze.
Yeah, exactly.
You could have just said no. You could have just lied. I forgot we were live on the radio. Go ahead. Sorry.
So my lensman spoke Russian, and Pavel Dimitro was. I guess injured, not playing. Something was going on with Pavel Dimitra. And a gentleman sitting behind us was a little fired up for whatever reason and told Naum to go back to the back of the plane where the players are. And I don't know if I would go back to the back of the plane where the players are for any reason.
No.
Much less to have my...
Even if you'd left your wallet back there.
My Russian photographer... go back there to tell Pavel Dimitra he is a five-letter word for cat or kitten.
Gotcha.
That's what he wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. Larry Plough and Mark Sauer weren't as amused by what was going on because we were right near first class. I mean, why wouldn't I be? I had been there for a week and I was 23 years old.
Sure, I'd expect you to be there.
So where Quenneville and Sauer and Plough were, I'm just thrilled. I'm like, holy crap, I'm on the same plane as Chris Pronger and Al MacInnis. I can't believe this. I was in Little Rock a month ago. But meanwhile, there's a guy behind me who's had a nip of the cooking sherry.
Yeah.
And
Much, probably.
Nah, they changed the rules after that flight.
Oh.
And I got my Russian photographer, a very nice man, unfortunately just needs a mint, and I don't have one near. And this gentleman behind me is yelling at my photographer to go back and call Pavel Dimitra. Doug, it's a five-letter word for cat or kitten. I think I can say it on the radio if I'm describing...
Lynx?
Cowardice, but I can't describe it if I'm discussing body part. So, but just to be safe, I'll say five-letter word Connecticut. And he wanted to go back there. And of course, Noam said no. And Larry Plow and Mark Sauer said, we're going to land this damn plane right here in the middle of Utah if you don't stop it. And I go, man, these trips with the Blues are fun. I didn't know this goes on. And that's, of course, why Roman Turek was distracted 5 games later.
Sure, he was still shaken by that experience. Could not
pay
attention.
Imagine if the game of Eve photographer would have gone back to where the players
and just read him the riot act.
I think the other players would have loved it, though. The other players would have thought that was hilarious. Come on, we're talking about hockey players. They would have loved that.
And this was a media member, man, who felt it was his duty to get the word to Pavel Dimitra that he ought to be playing.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. This is why they hate us. This is why they just can't stand us.
So, I mean, the listeners are familiar with Calvin May, Jason Hayward exchange, the Matt Carpenter, John Lackey incident, and it's all proper name. The incident is capitalized in the IS. But, yes, there are other incidents that have taken place, such as flights across the country in the middle of the playoffs in which media members wanted somebody in Russian to go back to where the players sit and really hold them accountable.
And he was serious. He wasn't just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, like I said, this was my first flight. My big trip up until that in my career had been to SEC Media Days in Birmingham. So now I'm flying on the Blues charter. Couldn't be happier. I was excited that Malcolm Briggs was on the plane. That's where my level of celebrity was at the moment.
Briggsy.
You know, I'm like, this is really cool. And I didn't realize that this was an outlier, that this doesn't happen on all the flights where everybody gets really intoxicated and starts yelling. So this was a once-in-a-lifetime type of deal. It just so happened to be on my first flight, because I'm going, man, these Blues flights get out of control.
Yeah. Boy,
see, I thought
fireworks the person,
on here.
I fight the on the ice, they fight in the plane.
Was kidding, but the media member was actually being serious, and he was saying that around other Blues officials?
He was saying it. I was in the first row that wasn't first class. And again, I had been in the market at that point for a week, so I had kind of earned my stripes.
I think so.
And this person was right behind me and my lensman, and for whatever reason, he was a little fired up and wanted Noam to go back to the back of the plane and really give Pavel Dimitra a piece of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were that close to first class where Quenneville, Sauer, and Plow were sitting, they could hear it. And after maybe a half hour of it, they had about enough and were debating whether or not to land the plane.
I can't believe they put up with it that long.
Was Noam thinking about going back there to give Dimitra a piece of his mind?
Kept telling me about what we were looking at outside the window for 4 hours.
Oh.
Just needed a mint. Just if I could have gotten a mint.
She had a nice little tour guide there.
I did. I had never been further west than Lawrence, Kansas. I wasn't well trained. You grew up in South City. You're not flying out to California all the time, Doug.
But you could drive.
No.
You had the family station
family truckster.
Wagon.
Yep. Family truckster.
You probably went to Florida a few times, didn't you, growing up?
One time I didn't like it. Went to
Why?
Disney World.
Yeah, too much driving.
Yeah, my mom was like, oh, we got to see this, we got to see that. I'd rather just kind of hang out at the pool.
Yeah, Disney World's not fun, unless you're about 5 years old.
What's like the best place you can go if you're a kid?
Yeah, but if you're like 13, you want to go chill on the beach.
Yeah, but you want to do both if you go down there.
Meet girls. Who wants to go to Disney World after about age?
As a kid?
6.
Lots of people do.
I wouldn't.
After age 6?
I went to Disney World and I did not have that much fun at all. Now, my little sister and brother had a great time. They had the ears and all that.
You're the oldest, baby?
I'm the second oldest.
How old's your older brother? Sister? Nurse?
79 born, so what is that?
Doug?
Boy, that'd be over 20.
He's 36.
Yeah.
I'm 33, will be 34. My sister will be 30 this summer, and my younger brother
milestone
just
birthday.
Turned, yeah. He just turned 27? 27.
And you didn't want to go to Disney World?
Not at age 13 or 14.
Well, you're starting to get up there where it's not your thing.
But they had a great
time.
As
a younger kid, that's exactly where you want
that's,
to go.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Summer wind.
I don't want to go to Disney World now.
But wouldn't it be fun? Did you go? You took your kid.
You probably had a great time. Greg Vaughn, you took Nick Vaughn. They loved it.
Maybe 3 or 4 times.
But you saw the joy on their faces, and it lit you up as a parent. And said, this is why I'm a parent.
Yeah, there's nothing more fun than waiting 1 hour and 10 minutes to go into it. It's a small world.
You ever seen a daisy chain?
No. Now the place is so darn crowded. And the times I've been there, it's so hot that I've told them, the next time, if I'm here again, it'll only be because somebody is dragging my dead carcass around the property.
But think about this. Let's say a few years from now, maybe John Vaughn has a little tyke, and you want to go as grandpa and
don't
go
say grandpa.
See...
Yeah, why don't you say grandpa?
What's wrong with grandpa? How about grandpa?
I say grandpa.
Well, don't.
I got a problem with that.
It's not what we say here.
That's what I say.
He also says pop. Do you have a problem with that?
I do. It's grandpa.
Most people in the country say pop. Just so you know.
I don't think they do.
Look at the pop versus soda map.
I don't like to be told what to look at.
Either way, ipso facto. If
second
you're there,
that's
facto.
Twice you've said that.
I don't even know what that means, actually. If you're there with your grandson, you'd love to kind of put the grandson on your knee and go get him a lollipop, and then you get him the ears, and he rides the ride, and you just enjoy spending time with your kin.
I don't know. Why isn't John Vaughn doing that?
Because he doesn't have a kid yet.
But you said if he did...
That's what I'm saying. You're going with them, though.
I don't have to go.
Don't you want to enjoy your grandkids?
If I have to, I will. If I have to, under protest, I would go. If I have to, I'll go.
You're going to be like an ornery grandpa.
I didn't expect my parents to go and take my kids there. That's a long day. That's a long, hot day, Chuck.
Yeah, that's true.
And I had an overweight woman sit on my feet.
What happened there?
Well, it was right at the end of the day. You sit there by the castle, and here come the fireworks. Of course, we have to stay for the fireworks. We've never seen them before. So all, I don't know how many people are there, 50,000 people that are in the park, they all gather right
all
around.
European.
They all gather right around, and you're in such a tight quarters. And so one lady decided she would go ahead and sit down while waiting for the fireworks and sat on my feet and didn't even know she was on my feet.
What'd you do?
Suffered greatly.
You didn't say anything?
I tried to wiggle my feet out of there, but there were some heavy buttock buns.
There were lots
right
in
there.
So you
were like giving her some hot foot action, bro?
I wasn't. I was trying to get away from the situation. And that's really the moment when I realized I won't be back.
I'll tell you what. For the life of me, I have a cousin who lives in Orlando, and I don't get why anyone would
Any
ever
Hardaway?
Want to live, no, in Orlando, Florida. You're in Florida, but you're landlocked in the middle. It's like, why would you want to move to Florida and not be near the water, A?
Well, it's still 80 degrees year-round.
Still, though. And also, all it is tourism. It's SeaWorld. It's Disney
Universal.
World. It's Universal. It's traffic. I would never want to live
Traffic's
in Orlando.
Traffic's rough.
Never.
Traffic's
I went down there for a couple
Orlando?
Bowl games.
Is it really?
And it was just, every time I went there, I mean, it was cool because we were there for work, there for 3 or 4 days, had a good time, yeah. But I would not want to live there.
Well, they go there for the job. Those are the jobs they have. Disney World.
I'm just saying,
parks.
If I'm going to move to Florida,
hotels.
Orlando would be the last city in Florida.
I do Palm Beach Gardens, Jupiter.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Somewhere close to the water. Tampa, Miami.
Well, you would rather live in Orlando than like Detroit or Cleveland or someplace like that, wouldn't you? Philadelphia, someplace
I'm
cold.
From Toledo, Ohio, so.
You'd rather live in Toledo than Orlando?
To me, though, going to Florida and still being 2 hours from the water doesn't make a lot of sense. Mm. I can live on beautiful Lake Erie.
Well, when I lived in Miami, it's not like we went to the beach once a week. You're there, you work, you have a life.
But you could see it.
You see it, yeah.
I think you should have went to the beach and experienced a little more
instead of doing push-ups
the whole time.
I went to the beach. I did. But it's not like you do it all the time. Not like I did all the time.
But even if you can go to the beach twice a month.
We've got the river here. How often do you get in on a paddle boat and go up and down that river?
A couple times a week.
Okay, well, you're taking advantage of what we have.
I have a kayak.
And up and down the river you paddle.
I do.
Pretty hard coming back up, though, isn't it?
It is, coming upstream. But I see that statue of Meriwether Lewis, and I say, these guys with Sacagawea, they endured much more than what I did, and it kind of gives me the motivation
wow.
to keep going.
That's good perspective, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a tough trip back then, Charlie.
1803, was it?
I think it was like 1804.
Yeah.
Isn't that when the Louisiana Purchase was made, 1804?
I feel like the Purchase was 1803. I could be wrong.
Well, hell.
But maybe the expedition came after that.
Well, I'm sure the expedition did come after that.
What I mean is the next year.
Ian Woosnam's now 12 over.
Woozy.
Louisiana Purchase, 1803. All right.
I feel like Ohio was also a state in 1803.
Doug, can you confirm?
They bought approximately 827,000 square miles of land west of the Mississippi for $15 million. Wasn't a bad deal.
Interesting. That was from the French, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Napoleon? Is that his time?
I think so, yeah. Didn't they need the money for a war or something?
Sounds right.
War damn Red Hawk.
Because Ohio statehood, Doug, when I was, I believe, right after high school, I got bicentennial license plates. Celebrating bicentennial.
Yeah, that is fun.
So I think it was 2003.
Stephen Wildwood says, why would anybody move from St. Louis? Thanks, Stephen Wildwood.
Good point.
Well, we haven't. Here we are.
Yeah, we keeps it real dirty. Dirty, know how we do. Mm-hmm. Purple and gold with the Lakers, the Broncos, the orange and blue.
March 1st, 1803, Ohio statehood.
Yep. Think about that.
When was Missouri's?
That's an important date for all of us.
When was Missouri's? You don't even know.
I want to say...
You don't even know.
I want to say 1824, but I could be wrong.
I'm going to look it up.
The summer wind comes blowing in.
I'm seeing August 10th. What'd you say? What year?
1824.
1821.
All right. Lingers there.
Maybe as we were the 24th state.
Could be right. I'll check it.
All right, if you could.
But you live in this state. You lived in this state your whole life.
Yeah, no, he lived in Miami.
No, I haven't.
Okay,
I haven't. Minnesota and Florida as well.
Yep. But you don't know. You don't know the statehood of your home state.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, St. Louis sucks.
Hey.
And the people in St. Louis suck.
This is the guy who called me ravioli head.
That's right. God, that's
shut happening. Up, ravioli head.
See, there it was.
Who is that?
Some guy filling 3 hours.
Guy from Los Angeles.
Guys, the poll results are now changing, Charlie. Do you think Doug Vaughn did 200 push-ups in a row in the 1970s? 444 voting, 54% say no.
But here's my point. I'm not trying to call Doug a liar. Seriously. I truly believe that you did 200 push-ups. We were just discussing the strict form. And I think Tim posed a question, how many can you do? I do think that's important. When you're answering that question. That's all I'm saying. I don't think that you lied at all. I'm sure you did. Mm-hmm. But it's just different in terms of if you're going really fast, if you're going all the way up, all the way down, you got to touch the fist on the ground.
Mm.
I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
You know, I
well,
love
I'm sure I wouldn't have gone all the way up and all the way down.
You know I love you, man. All right. But ever since that, now it's weird in here. You know what I'm saying? The air's like a little
different, there's tension. There's tension. And it's unfortunate. But it's exciting.
I don't feel a whole lot of tension.
Mm.
We just had a marvelous discussion on Lewis and Clark.
I feel like you get mad at me though. When I first started doing the show, you didn't. And now lately with the push-ups and then with the birthday thing, I just feel like has something changed between us?
Let's hash this out. Let's workshop it.
No, Chuck. I'm sitting right here as I do every morning from 7 to 10, regardless of what you or anyone else says.
It doesn't matter who's in that chair.
The text line comes in with some of the most vile stuff I've ever heard or seen in my life. The calls, the emails, it's all the same, Charlie.
Do you enjoy...
Doesn't really bother me one way or the other.
Do you enjoy doing it?
No, I can't stand this. Or the business.
Because
I've wanted out of the business for years.
But are you being serious?
Yes.
Because I enjoy it.
Well, I don't enjoy the business.
Really. But you enjoy being on the show.
No.
Come on.
I don't.
Yeah,
I would rather
laugh.
Be selling shoes at the West County Mall.
Hey, you're in the mix for you're a finalist for a position.
Yeah,
at Nordstrom, I believe.
Yeah, I go in for my fourth interview tomorrow.
Very few people can be on local news.
Those Nordstrom shoes, shoes are expensive though.
So, I know.
So there would be a nice little commission if you sell.
Something. I mean, some of these dress shoes I've looked at. I mean, holy moly! And then I got to pay for the lifts.
Yeah, I'm not a guy who spends $200 on a pair of shoes. I can't.
Frank Cusimano told me this, and he's right about it. I was looking at a pair of his shoes once. I said, those are great shoes. He goes, go to Nordstrom Rack, and that's where you get really nice shoes discounted. Sometimes they don't have a lot of sizes.
Oh, I know. I've been there.
But if you find your size, you can get great shoes.
There's one right across from Ryan Kelly's new headquarters.
Cheaper. That's right.
Right there by the Whole Foods.
So when you're there, you can stop in and see if they got anything your size.
Sure. I went to that Whole Foods yesterday, to their kind of little buffet bar.
We get it.
Bar.
You can afford Whole Foods.
It's kind of expensive, though.
But we get it that it doesn't matter what it costs for you.
But I filled up a little tray. It was $12.
You do that Whole Foods a lot, baby?
My fiance does. And yesterday...
She's very healthy, isn't she? She's very healthy.
She's very healthy. She's like...
She likes that hot pot, right?
She's strict paleo, yes. She likes hot pot. Over in Kirkwood.
Hot pot.
Right there in Manchester.
I've not been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of lasses who are in shape hit that hot pot. But I'll tell you, let me tell you something. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I can tell by the tone of your voice, this is going to be spicy.
When we stay in Miami,
Miami.
We always stay at the same place. And about a block, I guess it's a block east, I think it is. I think it's east. North, northeast.
It's easy to tell in Miami because the ocean's east.
And maybe it's west. No, I can't tell. North, about a block north.
Okay.
In downtown Miami, there's a Whole Foods. And so I'll go over there and I'll get a bunch of water and, you know, some whatever food for the...
Some almonds.
Yeah, actually, that's what we get.
Some cool food. Some just really cool food.
Almonds and water.
Yeah,
and
trail mix. If you're buying it,
trail mix, that's actually what it is.
It's got to be cool.
I stalk you. Go ahead.
And let me tell you something about the tail at the Whole Foods in Miami. I mean, you got to be kidding me. It's unbelievable. I want to periscope it for the audience so they can see what's going on.
Why don't you?
When people don't decide to have kids by the age of 21. And if you can see it, I mean, it's like the model's a whole thing. But if I were walking around with my phone out, I think that would probably give off the wrong vibe.
You look kind of creepy. Maybe you need some device where you could put it like on your hat or something. Put it on the front of your hat.
It's not bad.
A little like a GoPro or a small right. little lipstick camera.
That's not a bad idea, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I go over there, it's unreal. And I actually think I audibly will say, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable.
I periscoped once my walk from Channel 4 to the Dome.
Same deal.
Just thinking this will be kind of a fun thing to do just to see who's out. And as I'm just kind of holding it out, walking down the street, and one lady looks at me and says, pervert. That's what she said.
Was that Miss Butler?
I might have been.
She was probably super hot, right?
No, she wasn't.
Was she homeless?
She looked like one of the fans going to the game.
Big old fan?
Well, she was a little hefty, you know. Hadn't missed any meals.
She had a Warner jersey.
But I was just holding it up like, look, I'm taking a picture. Pervert.
And Doug was like, you wish.
I'm not a gentleman. I'm a whore.
So when you go to Whole Foods in Miami, does Anne Marie, can she tell that you're just kind of looking around, seeing what's
to do? I mean, she understands what's going on. I don't hide it. I mean, every guy's still looking. It's just human nature.
I don't.
Doug, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to fight biochemistry on this show.
I don't think you should.
Okay?
No.
We're going to support our synapses. We're going to seek lesbianism, and we're going to celebrate it. That's what we're going to do on this show. God bless you, and God bless these United States of America.
Wow.
Yeah, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
I was just on FM.
You were on FM.
Yeah, rubbing our faces in it.
What station?
1007.
What were you doing there?
I called in, they put me on too.
Yeah, what'd they ask you? What'd you talk about?
They got girl in it. I say milk.
How'd that go over?
Good one.
You have any clue what you were talking about?
Hey, Tim.
Yep.
You remember last year that guy one got me a hat that said milk?
Doug.
Someone got you a hat that said milk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was going through my phone and deleting some pictures last week, and I deleted that one, I think, by mistake. Anne Marie said, why'd you delete it? It's a great picture of the milk hat.
He worked on FM 1007.
Ah, Doug, just rubbing it in our face.
I don't know. We can't get on FM, Mike.
They put me on, too, 1007.
We don't have the chops. We don't have the chops to be on FM.
They want me to come to that radio station.
Well, that'd probably be a good idea. Why don't you do that?
They got girl in there.
Do they?
Yep.
Well, you like girls, and we're fresh out of them here, so maybe that'd be a good spot for you.
I said milk this morning to her.
Yeah.
I said, yep.
Cardinals in action tonight in Atlanta. Your thoughts?
I hope Cardinal could win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jaime on the mound, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Whistler?
I don't know.
Hey, I drink coffee right now.
You're drinking coffee now?
Sexy coffee.
Make my ass sexy.
Well, I don't know if it's going to help your ass at all.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
You might kiss my ass.
Ah. Put him down. Put him down. Mike Lee has
never
been
gets old.
Suspended.
Well, it's great stuff.
Mike Lee has been, it's new, too. It's stuff that we've never done before.
You know what, though? I did
He's
think.
He's been suspended 2 days' time. Thanks, Fugazi.
Once I moved here, I heard Mike Lee for a while. I'm like, all right, it's kind of funny. And then for like 5 years, I was like, all right, I'm done with it. But then I feel like the last couple of years, he has the tagline at the end, and I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, he's really having a nice couple of years right now.
It does seem to be a trend. It's kind of what he does at the end now, isn't it? Well, he's found himself suspended on numerous occasions, and I don't expect that felt very good.
Doug, what's your address? I'm going to mail out my SLU Law graduation invitations. That's Tony the Plow Dow. You want to go to his?
I probably should go and get a copy of the naked picture of Tony Danza that he keeps showing us and just hand that out to all the people at the wedding and say, here's what Mr. Bridegroom or here's what Mr. Graduate has been doing while he's been studying the law.
Let's play this handout. If you were just to walk around the graduation ceremony handing out a naked picture of Tony Danza or any gentleman, I think the focus is probably going to be more on you than Tony the
Plow Dow. Well, the picture will come with a little writing on there that said, this is what Tony the Plow Dow has been handing out. I want to make sure everyone has a copy.
This is what he's done. I shave only my left nutsack if the cards win.
Well, hadn't had to shave anything yet, then, has he?
Tony Messenger, the first 5 minutes he hosted a show here.
Right.
He wasn't aware of the text inbox, and the boys just kind of fired some shots.
He was getting morning after runoff?
Yes, he was.
Yep.
And he was...
It's destroyed Frank.
Yeah.
There's been a couple times.
Ruined Frank's show.
When I run point on the show, so I'll have the text line up on my iPad, and then I leave... I don't close it out. And then a couple hours later, you know, you go home, you fire up your iPad, you look at your fantasy baseball, and then you see the text line. You just, okay, I'll just scroll through it. It's just.
Quit sending us naked video of mail.
These guys do it all day.
I know. It's like the notes that inmates would pass along in a prison, like the one they have in Moberly. They probably have similar type messages sent. And yet we get it hit that we're supposed to be a professional workplace.
I got a prison letter when I was working in the Upper Peninsula. From a prisoner up there.
Like a hot female prisoner?
No, like a large African-American man.
What do you want from you?
It was really kind of gibberish. And the funny thing was, is he wrote a letter to me and some other people at the station. We're an NBC affiliate. So right after us comes on Brian Williams. And this is when Campbell Brown used to fill in for Brian Williams on the NBC Nightly News. Mm-hmm. So this guy, he would write a letter to like me in the Upper Peninsula. Then he'd write a letter to Brian Williams also in the Upper Peninsula, and then he'd write a letter to Campbell Brown. I think this guy thought that, like, after the local news got off the set, that, like, Brian Williams, like, kind of took over the chair here in the Upper Peninsula and just started firing off the national news.
Wow. Huh.
You respond to the gentleman's letter?
No, but what happened was everybody in the newsroom thought it was so funny, so they used to call my desk and pretend they were him. Like, my news director would do this. He thought it was hilarious.
Hmm.
Brian Cabell, longtime CNN correspondent.
I knew him. I worked with him in Miami.
He was my news director.
Is he going to be at your reunion party that you can't go to?
Probably. Probably so.
Panthers are in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what everyone will be talking about. Those Panthers. Boy, you like the guys they've got.
Bobby Luongo?
Yeah, well, all of them, Chuck.
Jaromir Jagr?
It's just a nice roster that they've assembled down there. I don't think we need to go through the names because I think everybody knows them.
But who else besides those two?
You know, you wouldn't necessarily need to go down the roster of the St. Louis Cardinals either.
But just give us one other Florida Panther.
They've got some of those guys that have been with them for a while and others that are relatively new to the roster.
Right. It's a good mix.
Yeah, it's a nice mix of forwards and rear guards. And they keep, you know, a couple, three goalies.
It's a nice layout.
That's what separates them.
From other teams? I feel like that's kind of the composition of most.
Well, the Panthers have pieced together their roster from, you know, here and there.
Guys, I just bought an excellent dishwasher from Appliance Discounters. Could I come by the studio and show my receipt in exchange for a sniff of Doug's show-worn slacks? That's the Franklin County kingpin.
Do I get this dishwasher?
No, but he wants to get a sniff of your slacks in exchange for supporting the sponsors. They have 6 area locations. They're online at theappliancediscounters.com. Their savings, your savings, including the Franklin County Kingpin. So you get a dishwasher and maybe a small taste of your slack.
He's going to come all the way from Franklin, like Washington, Missouri?
Right.
To sniff the slack itself.
Yep.
I don't know if you've heard this story, Doug.
I'm going to say no on that.
But a couple weeks back on the 2 Fox, the 11 p.m. newscast, we did a kicker story.
Did the same thing happen?
No, but this is a legit dating site where what they do is they send all the people a white T-shirt, all right? Guys and girls, you're supposed to wear the white T-shirt for, I think, 3 days. You're not supposed to change it, and you're not supposed to shower. And then you send the T-shirt back. They cut up little pieces of the T-shirt, and that's how they match you with people, because some people are really attracted to the smell of others. So they'll get a piece of that shirt.
Pheromones?
Pheromones?
Pheromones.
Look it up. This is really happening.
Yeah. You think it's a popular dating site or just someone looking for
it'd
another
gimmick? Be cool if like our listeners smell it, sent in their scented wardrobe for us.
Please don't. They've sent us in some stuff already that nearly got us arrested.
But Doug, have you ever kind of...
Please don't.
You wake up the next day and maybe your wife's at work or whatever, and then you roll over and you smell the scent of her perfume on your pillow, and you just kind of, it just reminds you of her. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Usually there's a dog in the bed but at that point.
Yeah.
Bandit will jump up there.
Oh, that bandit's a problem.
Yeah, bandit's a snootful. You allow your dog up on the bed?
Yeah. And my dog currently, his favorite toy is this hoof that he chews on.
Yeah, horse's hoof.
And it smells so bad. He loves it. It smells awful. Like last night I had to go and put it up on the dresser because I could not deal with smelling it. And he just gnaws on it all night and it makes a bunch of noise and all that. Yeah. But it smells terrible.
Well, how did he feel when you took it away from him?
He just went to sleep.
He was okay with that.
I gave him his stuffed moose toy.
Mm.
Brian Elliott's moose, and he had a good game.
Yeah.
Blues win.
24 saves out of 25.
Right back to hockey that way.
Yeah, that's how good I am. That I can pick up just the smallest thing and then segue it back to Blues.
Seems like that's what you did.
Right. Thank you, University of Missouri and St. Louis University High School in St. Gabriel's.
You went to you took a couple transition classes. You look for anything that you can hook on to change the subject.
You take class for that.
Okay.
Doug's is the scent of turbulent and explosive orgasms. Thanks. It's from the Chicken Hawk. That's your scent?
Who would send that sort of text into another
Chicken gym? Hawk.
Into another gym. Bobby Vessel just raised
Vessel, you're the one that sent that in?
You'd send those as well?
No. No, but I've sent vile in the past.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, you've been...
You hear the microphone, is it?
Come on over. The
you've
water's
been sideways
warm.
With me before.
Why would a gentleman listener send in a vile text or email?
To get a rise out of you?
Why do you want to get a rise out of me?
Of my...
You just sit and listen all day and you laugh at work, yeah.
Where do you work, mister?
At an independent lab in Columbia.
How about that? Look
independent
at this guy.
Lab doing
it's in biotech, baby. Biotech.
Medical research.
Government accounting.
Government accounting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
You sit and listen all day. You get bored. You send in vile things. Vile Photoshops.
And does the United States government, including President Barack Obama, know that you are using government equipment to send these vile emails and texts?
Personal phone.
It is.
Personal phone. That's
personal
right.
Personal phone.
Do they pay you? Do they pay you for this phone? I mean, do they give you an allowance? No.
But you're on company time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Technically, it's our taxpayer money is going to you sending vile pictures to one Doug Vaughn.
Did you create the fan page while you were at work?
No.
Mm.
No. But.
Because then it might be the property of the United States federal government.
Yeah.
It could be. No. No. Intellectual property.
But we created
not much
the fan
intellect
page.
Over there.
We created the fan page. It's kind of a funny story because, you know, the listeners were interacting on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the email of the day segment would be read and you would cut them off, you know, because they'd be violent and everybody would want to know what the rest of the email was. So we created the page as a place for people to post those emails so we could finish hearing the story.
You had to hear the vileness.
Yeah, we wanted, because it's funny, and you're like, oh, what's he going to say?
Wait, hold on
so
a second.
That's why the fan page was created.
What happened after the toilet seat was put down?
Right.
I have to know.
Yeah. What if my feelings
It was around
hurt.
The Deke Dotem time. You would cut him off half. I want to know what Deke had to say.
I don't.
You know?
What if my feelings were hurt?
Well, you're a grown man. You
just don't care. Well, it's just disappointing.
Yep, that's why. And to post those funny Photoshops that you don't like either.
No.
So, which we got rid of.
Would you like to say something vile now?
No. No. No.
Would you like to get your phone and send in something? Email? A quick text or something?
No, I do have some Photoshops on my phone. I guess I could say.
Why have you got those? What does your wife think about that?
She thinks it's dumb.
Oh, that's right. You've talked with her about this.
Oh, yeah.
She tries to get you to stop.
No, it's... No.
She doesn't care.
Does
she ever listen to the show?
I've tried to get her to, and she thinks
hates
it's stupid.
It?
Yeah.
She's
why would somebody think this is stupid?
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Okay. Childish.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're pretty well respected.
job. First of all, very few people listen to your radio show. That's the good news.
Other people in Moberly listen to this product?
Yeah.
They don't.
Absolutely, yeah.
The prisoners there. They have a huge prison.
You've
there.
Been to the prison.
I have. I played basketball there once.
I do.
Yeah.
We lost, thank God.
They used to have leagues back then that they would allow the softball leagues, basketball leagues, that they would allow prison teams to join the league,
yeah.
But you would have to go to the actual prison to play your league game.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I played in some softball games, you know, I don't know, back in college when that was going on. And so.
Yeah, I remember going there with a group in college.
Why would you do that?
It's actually kind of fun.
I guess they actively seek teams to come in and play them, give them some recreation. And one guy brought his girlfriend, and they said, no, she's not coming in. So she had to sit in the car for a couple hours.
Yeah, that was really big back in the 80s and 70s. I don't think they do it much anymore, though.
I don't think I'd go to a prison and play softball against inmates with bats.
They got guards all lined around. I mean,
We wouldn't have done it either.
And it's not maximum security. It's like the prison farms and the, you know, lesser crimes.
Yeah.
Like weed charges.
I don't think we were playing against the mass murderers.
You're probably the toughest guy on that field.
I was probably the toughest guy in the prison.
200 push-ups.
As soon as I walked in, I would have been the baddest dude in the barn.
Did you get in there, like, just to kind of set the tone? Did you throw down 200 half push-ups and then step up to the box?
No, but I did hold up my wallet and say, there's not a man in this prison who can take this wallet from me. And I left with the wallet too, Chuck.
Yeah, I don't think he did 200 push-ups.
Bobby Bestel. Bobby Bestel.
Wow. I don't know. This side of the table, Bobby starting Bestel. To kind of form.
I was in the Army for 4 years, and the Army had certain PT standards that you had to do. You had to do a certain amount of push-ups in 2 minutes, certain amount of sit-ups, and you had to run 2 miles. And at my best, I could only do like 80 in 2 minutes. So, and you had to do complete push-ups, because if you didn't do it correctly, they wouldn't count.
That drill sergeant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You had a hard time doing 80?
I had a hard time doing 80. I mean, I'm not, you know, by any means, was in great shape back then. I mean, I was okay, but yeah, you had to do a minimum of 52, and some guys struggled to do that in the military.
Well, you shouldn't.
Yeah, I know.
You shouldn't. If you're a young male in good shape, you shouldn't be struggling with 50
push-ups.
Most
I ever did was 80-something.
Yeah. Not everybody can take Tom Seaver deep.
I'm kind of with Charlie.
That's true, too.
He probably didn't do complete push-ups. Anybody can do a half-inch push, but
I don't suppose any of your buddies took Tom Seaver deep either, did they? Or walked into Moberly and held the wallet high in the air and said, not a man in this jail and take this wallet from me.
Doug, Michael's Flooring Outlet is a place you can go as well and hold your wallet in the air. Michael's Flooring Outlet has 4 great locations to visit and a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. Now, what sets them apart? Their employees. When you come in, they'll ask questions that others may not, and they'll try to find the perfect match instead of selling what they have overstocked. Michael's is great for everyone. They're perfect for the do-it-yourselfers or the contractors. There's so many things that go into a purchase, but go to the others first and then come to Michael's, and I know you will see the difference. Support the sponsors. Check out Michael's 4 area locations in St. Charles County, in West County, in North County, and in Darden Prairie. Online at michaelsflooringoutlet.com. Let them know that CBS Sports 920, CBS Sports 105.7 HD2, sent you their way. Rick Hummel's going to join us at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Cardinals and Braves tonight, and then we will have the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll, the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week, and what will Cucky the Dwarf bring to the table for the email of the day, and a $20 gift certificate to Llewellyn's, where we will have live opening day broadcast for the Cardinals home opener on Monday. Anheuser-Busch and Maker's Mark present opening day Monday, April 11th at Llewellyn's Pub in Soulard. Doug, we'll be there.
It seems like there's a really strong chance that we'll be there.
There's going to be a bags tournament starting at 11. Sign up online at InsideSTL.com. 16 teams can participate. Chance to win Cardinal tickets by winning the bags tournament. And as a throwback to Tony La Russa's days, Bud Family Pitchers on sale for the price off his back. There it is, Llewellyn's and Soulard. It's where opening day broadcast will be. We will be ponied up. That's what we will be. We will be ponied up. The forecast is horrible. You think the Cardinals would cancel it in advance to give people notice?
Possibly.
I heard 70%.
It was 90% last night on the thunderstorms thing. I think it's at 80 when I looked this morning. I'm monitoring this thing like the Dickens.
High of 55 with rain. Yeah, it'd be miserable.
What do we do?
Miserable.
What do you do there? Lou Brock throwing out the first pitch.
Tuesday's supposed to be
Tuesday's 10%
sunny. Yeah.
Precipitation.
Maybe they put it off a day. I hope so. I hope they would. I hope they would put it off rather than put everybody through long rain delays and cold weather and rain. Yeah, give him a jingle.
What if we play at the Dome?
You think that's possible?
Be great. There's no team there.
No.
Never really was.
Wonderful. Oh, brother.
70% chance of rain now, Doug, so we're moving in the right direction. Still 70%.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't do it now, but long about Saturday or Sunday, you might. Yeah. Sunday.
Rick Kummel's going to join us on the other side of the break. We'll talk it over with him regarding the state of this Cardinal club as we go into the second series of the year. Jaime Garcia on the mound. That's next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.